Okay, just a reminder to turn off any cell phones or distracting devices you might have on. Also, a special welcome to Allie, who filled in for us this morning at the piano. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We want to turn at this time to John 16 for our scripture reading for this morning, as we've been looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We began with that last week. The ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll begin with actually verse 26 of chapter 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All of this I have told you, that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a sacrifice to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only that which he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known unto you. Here ends the reading of God's word. I'd like to begin by saying that I had to say goodbye to a very close friend and guide. This true friend and guide had been with me on road trips for 6 years. This guide had led me across the entire East Coast, directing me on adventures and helping me navigate at least 20 states. This friendly guide had been responsible for leading me and in turn helping me to lead others in some of the most fantastic sites throughout Wyoming, Utah, Montana, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, and the New England states. This travel companion led me to nice restaurants and hotels and travel attractions and entertainment options. This friend saved me many times from the tedious task of taking travel maps, journals, and directories. In fact, this travel guide, this friend, got me unstuck when I was lost, kept me from stopping at gas stations and convenience stores and asking for directions. He replaced all of the conventional tools that I used for travel. But sadly, I had to send him back to where he came from. My Zumo 550 GPS crashed, and I had to send it back with eager expectation of his return. He conveniently died on my way home from a 2,000-mile motorcycle journey. Luckily, for me and for those who were following me, it didn't go kaputs until the very last day of our travels. And I was so anxious for a healthy return from the surgical table of the tech department at Garmin. GPS technology, it's quite amazing. It's helpful. It's helpful in guiding our daily lives and our summer adventures. Guidance is a very precious commodity. Talk to the blind man about the importance of guidance. Talk to him about the importance of his guide dog. If you want to know the value of guidance, simply talk with him. Specialty dogs are uniquely trained to help such persons. I saw a man, blind, walking into Kmart with his seeing eye dog up in E-Town, and later, while he was in the store in the men's department, oddly, I saw him take the dog by the tail and spin him up over his head. And I said, "What on earth are you doing?" And he said, "Well, we're just looking around." Just kidding, didn't happen. But if you want to know the role of guidance and the importance of guidance, talk to a man who depends on his seeing eye dog for looking around. Looking around. God has given his children a personal guide. Jesus said in verse 13 of our text, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And the word guide, interestingly, in the Greek language, literally means to lead the way. And so when God saves us, he does not leave us to grope in the dark. He enables us to walk in the light. And as Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." And so the Holy Spirit lives within the believer, moving behind the believer, going before the believer. The Holy Spirit has two very distinct ministries. He has a ministry to the non-believer and a ministry to the believer. We read in verses 7 through 11 that he has a role to play in convicting, convincing, and converting the unsaved or the unbeliever who do not yet have a regenerate heart or mind. But today, as we examine our text, we also focus on verses 12 through 15, and we see a vital ministry to the believer from the Holy Spirit. We read that he has come to guide us into all truth. Now, truth is a major focus of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in both verses 13 of this chapter and in verse 17 of the following of the preceding chapter, chapter 14, verse 17, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And as such, as our sermon title suggests today, he's the only guide we need. The Holy Spirit guides us to receive truth. Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." But don't miss the blessing of that very verse, because when God leads us, he not only leads us in the right way, in the right place, but he leads us at the right time. And there was truth that the apostles needed to learn, needed to record, needed to pass on, but at that moment, they were not yet ready for it, but in God's time, they would be. And so the Holy Spirit comes in part to guide us into the truth about God, the truth about sin, the truth about salvation, the truth about life, the truth about stewardship, the truth about death, the truth about heaven and hell and forgiveness and bitterness. In other words, he has come to guide us in what really, really matters. The truth is found in the Bible, but we cannot understand the Bible or its relevance apart from the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, "Now you have not received a spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, that we might know the things of God that have been freely given to us by God." In other words, we have received the Spirit of God that we might receive the truth of God that is found in the Word of God that reveals the very heart of God. That's the truth of it. And he goes on to say in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2, "But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him." In other words, anybody can read the Bible, but without the illuminating help of the Holy Spirit, it becomes confounding rather than transforming. And so there's an illuminating nature to the Holy Spirit. Before I was a believer, I had no yearning for the Word of God, nor did I have a perception of the Word of God. But after conversion, there's an illuminating factor to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when we speak of transformation, and in light of my focus today on summer travels, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You ever hear that one? Well, I've been to Vegas a few times. And what interested me most in Vegas was what my Zumo 550 helped me find in Vegas. And it was not in Vegas, it was outside of Vegas. And it helped me get to the Hoover Dam. And we know that the incredible energy that is harnessed in the middle of that Nevada desert is through the channeling of the Colorado River. And we know it's astounding. It's astounding. Through the genius of engineering, a dam was built that provided energy to millions of households in the middle of the desert. Millions of volts of energy transformed for daily use right in the middle of a desert. The transformation of God energy is a miracle. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it can be brought to some incredibly dry and barren places. Dry and barren hearts. He takes the incredible truth of God in the right place, at the right time, and in the right way, and he gives it to us so that we can have the power to be who God desires us to be. The Holy Spirit acts as a divine transformer of the things of God, so there's transformation at the core of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But secondly, the Holy Spirit also guides us in our remembrance of the truth. Guides us in the area of remembrance. And I'm calling that today illumination. So we have transformation and we have illumination. Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus never wrote anything down? Now that's not exactly true, because a couple weeks ago I spoke about Jesus kneeling in John 8 and writing in the ground. That's, as far as I know, the only reference we have to Jesus writing anything. We have no record of him writing a letter of any kind. Now, I believe the apostles and the prophets wrote things down. In fact, at times they were told by God to write things down. But even though Jesus' authority was supreme and he received truth straight from the heart of God, we never hear of him picking up anything and writing it down. And perhaps the reason is because of this illuminating dynamic of the Holy Spirit. The reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And in John 14:26, we read, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you," that's illumination, "all things, and bring to your remembrance what I have said. And so there's this ministry of remembrance and illumination. How did the disciples accurately remember what Jesus said? And what he in turn wants us to hear. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit guided them in their remembrance of the truth. And there was a preserving dynamic to the Holy Spirit's ministry and preservation of Holy Scripture. All of us know that faulty memory, both in the natural world and in the spiritual world, can be a fatal problem. And so in Scripture, they were asked to, in the Old Testament, to have stones of remembrance. There were monuments, there were wells, there were places of remembrance to be placed throughout the journey of those followers of God. But poor memory can be fatal, both in the natural and in the spiritual. I'm not going to forget anytime soon the time that I got up and could not find my car keys. I lived 30 miles from my church. I didn't know if I would even make it. I had to get my neighbor out of bed and have him drive me for a 60-mile round trip to get to the church. Needless to say, he was glad to help, but who would forget such experiences? Or when on a communion Sunday, I hear my phone ring and I realize that I had forgotten to move my clock forward and they were waiting at church and I'm in the shower. Or just the other day, I'm to meet some folks for lunch here at church and I go to wash my car before the experience, get out of the car, put my keys up where the coin operator thing is at the car wash where I'm having my car washed, leave my keys on the ledge and take off with the other set of keys in the car. Realize when I get to the church, I need to get in my office. Oops, there's no car keys. Or when I'm looking for my glasses and I'm actually wearing them. Right? We all have these sort of situations. Or when I fail to lock up my wallet in my motorcycle and 6 credit cards are stolen that very day and someone's spending themselves into oblivion. Or the time when I forgot that I was running out of gas and found myself walking with my thumb up down a highway. We all remember those experiences where memory is so critical to our existence. Just as a diversion from that, there was a young preacher who was preparing his first sermon in his pastoral candidacy with a church. And it was a trial sermon, and he wanted to start out with a bang and loosen people up a little bit. And he decided the best way was through humor. And he had remembered hearing an older preacher get up and say one time, "The happiest days of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." And then there was a ghastly reaction by the congregation, and he said, "Yes, and it was my mother's." And well, he thought, well, this would be a great way to start his new candidacy sermon. And so he didn't tell his wife, though, and she was known to be a very volatile person. And so nervously and tentatively, he gets up in front of the church. "The happiest days of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." And in the middle of his dramatic pause, he forgot the second part of the story, and she began to move toward the pulpit. And at that moment, the young preacher, with a mental block, says in a panic, "And to save my life, I can't remember who it was." Poor memory can be fatal. But the reason why we have the New Testament is because the disciples and the apostles were allowed not to forget what Jesus had taught. They were not the victims of spiritual dementia, and nor should we be. They were reminded of the truth that he gave, as well as those things that were to come. In John 14:26, he promised the Spirit would teach the disciples all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. And so in John 16, verse 13, he said, "The Spirit will guide you into all truth. Whatever he hears, he will speak." But then the last part of verse 13 says, he will tell you the things that are to come. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us into historical, doctrinal, and futuristic truth about God's work in the world. And that should give us assurance and confidence and a sense of wholeness. But these words were not only given to the disciples, they were given to us as well. And so the Holy Spirit not only guided them in the transmission of the truth, but the Holy Spirit reminds us of what they wrote. The reminding nature of the Holy Spirit is a profound thing. And occasionally something happens in my life which reminds me of God's word and God's very individual care for me as a person. And I will never forget a very dark period in my life where there was a profound sense of sadness and loss in my life. And I went to church in Philadelphia, in a center city church. And there I heard a pastor very aptly divide the word of truth. And he preached on Isaiah 40, 31. And his text was, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint." And I heard that word, and it was fresh on my mind the following Monday morning after hearing that message. And I was driving down the road thinking that I needed additional encouragement and that I wished God would speak to me clearly, as he had spoken to that pastor. And believe it or not, as I'm driving down Church Road in Orland, Pennsylvania, on the side of the road the very morning after, I see a picture of an eagle next to someone's trash can being thrown out. And underneath this beautiful picture of an eagle is the very verse that was preached on the night before. And I asked, was that coincidence? Or was that encouragement directly given by the Spirit of God? What are the mathematical odds of discovering a picture of an eagle with the very verse that I had heard preached on the night before? Is that random? Is that just someone's trash? Or is that serendipitous? Needless to say, I claimed that picture and I kept it for myself, and I hung it visually in my office for many years because it led me to a place of remembrance. How is it that I can study the scripture and run into various challenges in my life, and I remember a verse or a principle that applies to that situation? How is it that I'm discussing faith with another who needs a sense of encouragement, and my mind is drawn to an exact encouragement or an exact verse that addresses that need? The Holy Spirit guiding through remembrance. The Holy Spirit not only guides, the Holy Spirit empowers, we read in Scripture. It empowers us to respond to the truth of God's word. We remember verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And when it says the Spirit will guide you into truth, it's speaking of biblical truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us to the scriptures, and it will lead us to more scriptures and more scriptures. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known unto you." In other words, the Holy Spirit is not an independent contractor. He does not speak on his own, but speaks the language of the Holy Trinity. And when he speaks what he hears from the Father and from the Son. And there's a unity within the Godhead. There's an important principle here, and that is that the Holy Spirit will never lead you in an area that violates the clear written word of God. When someone says that they believe the Holy Spirit is leading them to marry an unbeliever, could that be the case? when Holy Scripture says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When a person claims that they are acting as God's messenger by exacting punishment or evil or retribution or vengeance on another, this cannot be, for Scripture says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 17. And so the Holy Spirit will not guide us to violate, but rather to uphold the clear written word of God. But I hear someone saying, you know, I really don't experience the presence or the leading of the Spirit. I don't really feel I'm hearing the inner voice of the Spirit in my life. And I think to myself, is this an issue of hearing, or is this an issue of distraction? Are we tuned out? It might be that we have a listening problem. Have you ever had the phone ring in your house and you picked it up but you couldn't hear anything because the TV was blaring or the radio was blaring or the kids were noisy or there was a jackhammer out front or the hearing aid wasn't turned up? The problem is not the person on the other line. The problem is that we can't hear. We can't conceive. Are we deafened by the mundane noises of this world? If we don't quiet deliberately some of the externals of our lives that constantly chatter and clatter and clamor for our attention, then we fail to hear the voice of the Spirit. If we only are interested in God on Sundays, we might not hear God's voice on Wednesdays. And so generally, God speaks in the quietness and the attentiveness of our hearts, in the quietness of our prayers, in the contemplations of our hearts. God speaks to us through the conviction and the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. God dares to speak to us when we're daring to be quiet enough to listen, yielded enough, responsive enough, tuned in enough, to proclaim along with Samuel from of old, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Is listening. And so we desire to be guided. We desire to be filled. We desire to have that internal compass. We desire to be empowered by God's Spirit. We desire a divine GPS, God's positioning system, to guide our every journey. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may it be so. Let us pray.